This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Welcome in, Danny and Dusty. No Dusty today. No Rusty today. Will Ortner behind the glass. Rust, I think he's got a case of the bubble guts. And Dusty, I think he's recovering from an all-ducks weekend. A little spring practice, spring scrimmage, excuse me, spring game, and some ducks baseball. Will, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. Enjoying a wonderful Monday.
I'd say it's a wonderful Monday, but it's not.
Why not?
It's not.
Oh, I know why.
Yeah, we'll get to it here in a second. Sports day was ruined yesterday. Like that, you know, it sucks. And selfishly, it is what it is. And we're going to talk about a lot, so we'll dive into it right here. But how was your weekend?
It was good for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I did occur a tragedy.
Oh yeah?
Yes, I wore a hat when it was cloudy, but it was sunny enough to come through.
Mm.
We're fighting tan lines. It's not like
the forehead tan line?
Yeah.
The trucker hat backwards tan
line? It's not a cardinal sin to the point of like, you're not going to see me and be like, whoa. But when that light hits right, you go, oh, no.
Why do you have a sideways D on your head?
Well, it's this similar trucker hat. It's not good. I didn't know the sun was rising.
No, it's definitely a sideways D.
Yeah, well, now I realize what you're... As soon as you said it, I was like, what are you talking about? Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Sideways and backwards.
Mm. It happens. It happens.
It caught me. And I should be, as a veteran of the bald game, I should know to not make that mistake just because it's cloudy. Doesn't mean that the sun isn't out, but I fell for it.
It happens. The last time I had that happen to me, the Trailblazers invited me, Joe Simons, and Shane Brendan during the summer to a... I'm just totally blanking on the game. Sack, hole, cornhole. Jesus. It's a Monday. Sorry.
It was like Sacramento.
Yeah. No. A cornhole tournament. It was a big one that they put on. And it was one of those days where the sun was creeping out. It was quite warm, but like the sun would disappear for a little while and then come back. And the more alcohol that was ingested, the less you realized it was there. And I got both the sunglasses and the snapback hat.
Ooh.
Egregious lines. I've got a picture on my phone from that day.
It's a rough one.
It's the after.
You got to remind yourself, though. Like, this is what happens when you fail. You got to remind yourself.
Yeah. No, I think, honestly, that's probably the last time that I've done that. But also, that was probably also the last time that I got that inebriated with that particular hat on.
See, that's the bummer. I wasn't even inebriated. I was just
You just got caught by the weather.
Yeah, well, like it was cloudy. I was out at my cousin's baseball game, so it's like, all right, you know, clouds out, hat on, sun pops out for 20 minutes, take the hat off. Like, I was playing the game. I just forgot that sometimes the sun can get through the
clouds.
Yeah.
Angles matter. Yeah.
I think I would even have kind of a funky tan line even if I'd had my hat off the whole time because it was always on the one side of the head. It was always on the left side. Like in the right light, you can kind of see even like down below here on the tan line. And it's like, oh, the sun was on your left side and you never thought to move.
Yeah, you get the whole side. You know, kind of a deal.
Right.
It's a little two-face action.
Where the other side, there's no issues at all.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine and normal.
See, I mean, my face is busted to begin with, but I did this. I was on the snowboard team in high school. And so I was up on the mountain 45, 50 times a year. And I had the raccoon eyes from hell.
From
like late December until March. Like, that's just how it was. And because there's no getting around that. The only, well, there is. You can wear a mask. And I hate wearing a mask. Like, I just, unless it's so cold that, like, my face is burning, I do not like wearing, like, the neoprene masks, any of them. They just always, I don't like having, like, things on my face like that.
Yeah, I'm that way with sunglasses. Never wear them unless I absolutely have to.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
We are on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Right. Well, you always have sunglasses on, and you're always rocking in with the Oakleys. Like, I have sunglasses. I have two in my car right now. I can't tell you the last time I wore either one of them.
Honestly, and it's not because, like, I have to have them in a sense. Like, I just got, I think I got beaten into it by submission because I worked so many nights for so long that I think I just got used to the dark. Like, I went full Bane. I was born in the darkness kind of a situation.
You're like a vampire.
I can't, like, when it's bright out, I can't handle it. And it's gotten to the point where, like, even when it's in the wintertime, unless it's night, like, I feel weird driving without my sunglasses on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just, like, really? You feel like something's, like, when that feeling when you leave your cell phone somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I take my sunglasses off while I'm driving and it's not nighttime, I feel weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm the opposite. Like, if
that's what I mean. We're literally
on
the opposite side of the spectrum.
If I have sunglasses on at all, it's weird to me. I don't like it. But I'm also, like, I don't wear, there's no jewelry on, there's no earrings, there's no watch. Like, I'm like shirt and pants, and that's it.
I'm earrings, necklace, watch,
There's
sunglasses, hat. Like, it's all.
There's no accessories here.
There's a lot of jangle here.
The hat is about as far as accessories as I go. And, like, I think you linked it to working all those nights. With my sunglasses, it used to mess with my contacts. Like, if I wore sunglasses in a baseball game, when I take the sunglasses off, for whatever reason, my eyes didn't adjust well, and it would really jack up my eyes. And I don't know why, and it probably isn't the sunglasses' fault, but when I was growing up, like, I remember going to Little League games or, you know, JBO tournaments, and you're wearing the sunglasses. As soon as I take them off, it's like, oh, everything's fuzzy now. Everything's, like, slightly off. I couldn't see baseballs that were thrown to me. I had issues picking up footballs, baseballs hitting the air. And so I just stopped wearing them and was like, well, this is going to hurt, but whatever, like, tough through the pain. And now I never wear them. Never, ever, ever.
That's interesting because I'm the complete opposite. Like, The only ever issue that I deal with light in general is I am vampire-ish. I'm just number one. I probably in the commercial break turn this light down in here as much as God will allow me to, and still have it be on the cameras. with no Dusty here, I can both dim the lights and turn it down to a full refrigerator.
Ooh, this is your ideal world.
Oh, dude! If I could turn if we didn't have the cameras, if we were just on radio, the lights would be off.
See, and that's 100%. That's crazy to me because I wouldn't be able to get my work done. Like, whenever I come in here for swag, I always turn the lights all as high up as they can go. They're bright. Like, I need to see stuff.
Yeah, no, the night vision is great. I'm good there. Fan text line: Danny Hintz wearing a mask. What kind of serial killer are you? One that look. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah,
it doesn't matter if they see my face.
If they die, who cares? Like, who are they going to report you to?
He dies.
Like, guess what? The Medium was a fake show. That's not based on a real person.
I hope not.
Dude, I'll tell you right now. You want to talk about just robbing people legally? Mediums. I don't believe in any of that garbage. Same with, like, the Ouija board. Get out of here.
I mean, yes, but also, I mean, I don't want to say value because value is too important and actually, like, there's something to people still holding on hope to, like, be able to, like, have those things they can hold on to. Does that make sense?
Yes. People,
don't get me wrong. It can be very unhealthy, though, too.
Well, look, people miss their loved ones that have passed on. And a way of dealing with that grief is for them to be like, I can still talk to them. And then you have swindlers that are like, you want to talk to them? Let me help you. And then they just take your money, and it's stupid.
Okay. I can agree with that.
I don't have a lot of, like, die on this hill. Mediums are pieces of garbage.
You never called Miss Cleo?
What? Cleopatra's in this?
Oh, God.
I don't know who Miss Cleo is.
Really?
No, I miss that.
But
I'm also not ghost hunter guy. So it's possible that I should know, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'm not dealing with ghosts.
I could have swore. You're 27?
I'm 27.
Miss Cleo was still going then. You never once stayed home from school and had a little Judge Judy into some...
Oh, that didn't happen.
Oh, I know, but I mean, those are the commercials that it ran, that and at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, she passed away in 2016.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, you had to have had some Miss Cleo in there.
No, because Judge Judy wasn't really a thing for me either. But I think this isn't a youth thing. This is a what I watched when I was sick thing.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like,
it was History Channel for me.
No, Miss Cleo made an appearance there, too.
Did she?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then I just ignored her.
Go, Miss Cleo. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was... If you want to go scamtastic, that is the tip of the spear.
Whoa.
I think it was like $4.99 a minute.
Yeah, pay per call minute service.
Oh yeah, buddy.
That's brutal.
Oh yeah, this is psychic phone sex.
She had all kinds of aliases. Also, like whenever you see those people appear on TV, at any point do any of them seem like if you just remove yourself for 10 minutes and mm-hmm. then you come back and you watch or you read what they're saying, the transcript. I'm sensing that you used to have a father.
Yeah.
Well, of course I had a father. I was born.
The ones that are really good are the ones like the mentalists, where they used like deception tricks to like push you exactly where you need to go.
Oh, like Oz?
Yeah.
See, I'm all about Oz, though.
But then, don't be wrong.
That stuff's cool.
It's the same thing.
Yes, but again, there's like a trick. There's a payoff. This person just takes your money.
Sure, but you leave the conversation feeling a certain way.
Okay, get a massage. You'll feel better after that, too. Like, go buy...
You feel really good after that.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, like, you got a muscle spasm in your back? You go fix yourself. That's a great way to do it. Go to the chiropractor. Like, there's all value in those.
There's plenty of people
think
that chiropractor is all gibberish.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of those people,
too. See, look at that.
Well, look, there's... I got ideas. Mm-hmm. I got thoughts.
Look, man, I do chiropractic work. I do acupuncture. I've tried it. Like, when you get to a certain point of pain, you're like, yeah, right. I'll try.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, do you continue to go and do things that didn't help you?
Fan text line. I can't judge anyone. I ran up $350 on my parents' phone calling wrestling hotlines. My man went full Bobby Boucher.
Wrestling hotlines?
Oh, yeah. Those also used to be a thing.
You could call in and be like,
call into the show.
Call into the wrestling shows, yeah. Huh? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that
whole thing from Bobby from Waterboy, like
that was a real thing.
That's a real thing.
That's hilarious.
Oh yeah, man.
I knew that you could like call for gambling lines and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, get your Stone Cold lead pipe locks here with Sal.
Right, because
oh, yeah.
I know Stu Feiner had one, mm-hmm. and like that.
There's
always
a guy still,
cracks
I think it advertises
up.
With us now that has one.
Oh, that's what that guy's advertising.
Yeah,
I hear that all the time, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, no, that's. I don't even think that's like. That's not even dead. What was that movie that Pacino and, God, what's his name? It'd be a lot cooler if you did. McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
They did a show where, like, he was a gambling savant kind of deal
one
of those shows.
That's fantastic.
For the money? That might have been it.
Sure, maybe. I was going to say, I that's a little bit past my time. I just,
it's not that. No, it's not that old.
See, so then I'm just missing it. So, like, I didn't know Jerry Springer was a thing until way after the fact. And that's not because Jerry wasn't running while I was,
two for the
know,
money.
Homesick.
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, see, those are things that should be in my lexicon. I think it's just when I stayed homesick, my dad turned on the History Channel, and I just got stuck watching why the Spartans were able to beat the Athenians in whatever war in, you know, BCE. Like, that's where my knowledge comes in.
I'm really glad somebody just texted in, wow, Miss Cleo, core memory unlocked just when you said it in her voice. Look, it's a island-adjacent voice that as soon as you
Caribbean.
Hear it, oh, yeah, as soon as you hear it, you're just like, your eyebrows go up like, I know that voice. I know, because it was like the background music for commercials or for like in between shows. Anytime you watch something either during the day, mm-hmm. early in the day, or at night.
Yeah.
The cheaper windows.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, because like what I remember for those windows is like you stay up late at Nick at Night to watch George Lopez,
mm-hmm.
and then the ads for it are like for some vacuum cleaner, or it's you can get, now that's what we call music, 892.
Oh, yeah. That's the prime marketing hour for that.
Yep.
And that's like, that's what used to, where infomercials used to live.
Mm.
Like, that's, and
I think they still do.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I mean, like, that's where they, like, that's all it was. Was like, in between the infomercials, you would get the Miss Cleos.
Oh, mm-hmm. See, I didn't know that. Like, I missed out on this.
We used to have not enough programming.
That blows my mind, because I'd make the argument now we have too much.
Well, hell, you go back in time, networks used to go off air at 9 o'clock.
Really? Like, you're talking CBS, ABC?
Oh, yeah.
Like, those?
That oh, crew? Yeah, sign off. Went to static or went to the color bar. Yeah, dog. Yeah.
Can you imagine that now? Can you imagine if, like, ABC was like, and was we're done 10? At 9?
I can't remember.
I would think it would be at 11, because didn't they have to do, like, Johnny Carson or something?
Oh, this is longer ago.
This is before Johnny Carson?
I'm going to Google this.
Well, that makes sense. Getting made fun of George Lopez on Nick at Night. That's a poor memory, man.
It was into the mid-80s.
Okay.
That we'd sign off at midnight.
Yeah, that blows my mind. It's the same thing with, like, hey, the NBA Finals on tape delay. That used to be a thing. That always blows my mm-hmm. mind. Like, how did we exist? Can you imagine, like, if right now, not even NBA Finals, they went Heat, Cavs, tape delay.
Oh, just wild. Yeah, the Dave Chappelle psychic for a hilarious take on Miss Cleo was, that's a great skit, if you haven't seen that one. Mm-hmm. And then a dark part of our past, also on Comedy Central, the Girls Gone Wild commercials.
I'm aware of those.
Yeah.
I think every dude, that dude at is, a certain age.
That dude's a complete dirtbag, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like they all are.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like, even among those dudes, I think,
oh,
he,
really?
Has, I think he has a case, if I remember right.
I was going to say, my understanding.
Definitely during the commercial break, search Girls Gone Wild on your work computer.
I'll make sure to do that. I have two. Yeah. I can do it on two different computers. I'll make sure to do
Absolutely.
That. Why were you looking this up at work time? It was for a bit.
It was for a bit. And then maybe type in dirty, too.
I don't know that I will.
Yeah. Coward.
Get the Christina Aguilera song.
Look, there was a period, whether it was Team Britney or Team Christina.
Team Christina.
Look, I know which side I'm on.
I'm Team Christina.
I am too.
And I'm coming into this 20 years after the fact.
Look, man. Genie in a Bottle came out, and that was all she wrote.
Team Christina.
That's all she wrote, all right? Well, God, this is a terrible transition. Speaking of that's all she wrote.
Oh.
We had a lot of stuff come out this weekend, and while it doesn't pertain to the hometown team, it does. Damian Lillard suffers a catastrophic injury. What does that mean for him, Giannis, and the Bucks going forward? Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan. What is this, party all the time?
Party hard.
Party hard, there you go. Yeah, not necessarily the song you want coming into this, but that's the rotator for you. Unfortunately, one of the worst injuries in sports happened last night, and it happened to a Portland legend. Early in the game against the Indiana Pacers, Damian Lillard goes for a loose ball, and you see his calf reverberate, his inability to get to the ball as he falls forward, still makes a hell of a play, throwing it over to the corner for a three. And the second it happened, if you've seen it before, you've seen it 1,000 times. We now have confirmation from Chris Haynes and Shams Charania. Damian Lillard has indeed suffered a torn Achilles. And it sucks, man. It's one of those things where the second it happened, I felt sick. I didn't want to watch the game. I didn't want to talk basketball. I didn't want anything at that moment. My wife was sitting there watching the game with me, and she just kind of like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, it sucks. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to cry or puke. And obviously, I've covered literally every single game of Damian Lillard's career in Portland. I've watched most of his games in Milwaukee. I know him, and I know what he's been through, and I know how hard he fought to get back from the blood clot, how hard he's fought throughout his career, whether it was dealing with a core muscle injury, the calf, the other calf. It's always been something. And, you know, then it's, you know, going through the trade stuff and getting to Milwaukee and being alone and going through personal stuff. It's just been one thing after another, after another, after another. And I just felt sick because, and this isn't pity, because the last thing he would want, and until I've talked to him about it already, it's not pity. It's just, he is different in the sense of his mental, physical, and emotional toughness is truly special. But damn, does it have to be tested all the time? Like, is that where we are with this?
It feels like, unfortunately for him, as much as he is meant to Portland and to a lot of Blazer fans, that he's going to go down as one of those really great superstars that you talk about all these great accolades that they've had, mm-hmm. but then they don't get the title. And a lot of it isn't his fault.
Yeah.
Like, it's unfortunate that he couldn't be more like Carmelo, because then you could say, well, yeah, Melo never won a title, but that's because Carmelo had certain parameters that you had to hit. And Carmelo had to be the star, and Carmelo wouldn't come off the bench. And because Carmelo believed in all those things and believed a little bit too much in Carmelo, mm-hmm. Carmelo never won a title because he couldn't, you know, be willing to move on to a situation where he wasn't the complete alpha. Where Dame, it isn't his fault that the organization viewed him and CJ higher than they probably should have as a duo. It isn't Dame's fault that by the time he finally gets moved over to Milwaukee, Milwaukee is now old, right? And they're getting beaten down. Like, make no mistake, as good as Damian Lillard is, if he's 100% healthy, I don't know that they win this series.
It was going to be tough because
their Pacers team is good.
I want to make sure we take some time today to talk about the Pacers, because I got a bunch of buddies that cover the Pacers and they're feeling a certain kind of way right now. And I get it, because they're like, they're just being pushed to the side because the Dame news is so monumental. And it is. That's the thing. It's monumental news because Dame's 34 years old. KD and Clay, when they did this, were 30. And look, I'm never going to doubt Dame until he doesn't do something. Like, he came back from the blood clot faster than basically anyone's ever done it, using, you know, top-end medical procedures. He's built different. Mentally, he's just that way. And, you know, I won't share everything, but, you know, this morning he said, when we were talking, he said, I'll answer the call again. Once again, mark my words. That was what he said to me this morning, because that's how he's built. He's just a different dude. And selfishly, you know, after it happened, it just kind of went into a fog. And a lot of you guys are texting in right now to the fan text line. I get it. Somebody said, I sat down, ate 3 full edibles. Not breaking into the proper dosage there. I just don't want to feel it. Look, man, about 5-10 minutes after the injury, I was on my phone, you know, texting back and forth with guys. I just looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to run to the store. Do you want something? Like, I just wanted to get out of the house. I didn't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, even with Dame not here, not wearing red and black, I think basically anybody who's a Blazers fan, who's been a Blazers fan, who rooted for Dame, was just absolutely gutted yesterday. Yeah. Absolutely gutted.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate in more ways than one, because as you look at it, it's not like Clay's injury. Where Clay's injury, man, that sucks. Another guy who fights through everything, mm-hmm. plays to the umpth degree, reached his full potential, and then probably then some, right? And he has his, I can't remember if it went Achilles tear, then his knee tear, yeah. or knee tear, then Achilles. No. But you feel awful for him, but you don't have that sinking feeling because he's going to come back. You know that Clay is going to fight and work his way back because of when the injury happened.
And they got the titles. Like, he climbed the mountain.
Right. And for Dame, the biggest issue that he's fighting as well with the injury is not just the injury and how we saw it Kobe is a completely different player from where he was before the injury
pre and post Achilles,
and now, to where he is post Achilles.
The difference being is you can see Achilles treatment has gotten drastically better.
Right, because it's happening more and more often. But the thing for Dame is he was always going to fight a really difficult battle with Father Time because he is undersized. Because he has to rely on smarts, on superior talent, and burst, right? And that is going to be gone from him now. And even if he does answer the call, I immediately thought of B-Roy. Because Brandon Roy, for me, like growing up, that's the guy who got me into Trailblazer basketball. I loved Brandon Roy.
And Brandon went out on his shield in that game against Dallas.
That's one of my favorite all-time memories as a Blazer fan, is Brandon Roy just being a dog one more time. But the problem is that when I was that age, I was young, and Brandon Roy had that game, and I come back from it going, man, Brandon Roy's back. Like, he is going to be awesome again all the time. Yeah. And he never was that guy again.
That was it.
Right.
I mean, he knew it.
You're going to have moments, right? Dame clearly intends to come back. He comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have moments, best case scenario. Well, it's never going to be
the thing.
Same.
Now, what does this mean for Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Milwaukee Bucks? We'll dive into that next. But here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update. Well, unfortunately, the basketball still goes on after Damian Lillard suffered what would end up becoming an Achilles tear early in the game against the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers would go on to win 129-103 and take a 3-1 series lead. In spite of Giannis Antetokounmpo, another insane effort. I mean, he has been unbelievable. 28 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, he's been incredible. I mean, he's been absolutely dominant. And if you watch the game, I think I flipped it back on with probably 5 minutes to go in the game. And they pan to Giannis sitting on the bench, just kind of staring out into nowhere. Because the realization is, look, it is what it is. Dame's out for likely a year because he suffered this Achilles injury in late April. If you go, the fastest kind of comeback we've seen from this is 9 months. That's the fastest we've seen.
Didn't Akers, correct me if I'm wrong, now it's apples to oranges, different sports. Cam Akers, I believe, did it in 4 or 5 months in
football. His was not a full tear, if I remember correctly.
It's a partial.
I believe his was a partial tear where, like, you can do a surgical procedure that's not nearly as invasive. And now that we'll find out what's going to come out of the MRI, like how, like, it is a tear, a torn, like, we saw the calf ripple. That's the thing. I'm like, that's probably a rupture.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the safe timeline here is 9 months as far as the quickest you can go. And here's the thing. It's not the recovery process as far as just being able to do stuff. It's trust and then being able to build it back up, which everybody I've ever talked to in the NBA who has had a Achilles injury has said the same thing. And that is it takes about 18 months to fully come back from. Year and a half.
Which is going to put him at 37, 38.
36, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
36 and a half years old.
And I think it's fair. Like, you've always heard rumors about Giannis. And, I mean, the whole reason that they made the trade for Dame was because Giannis said,
title window.
I need someone better than what we have right now to be my two. Didn't that look, that 1,000-yard stare he had there, kind of look like,
oh, it's done.
I'm moving.
That's what it was.
He will be.
That was like, I hate saying this in the moment, but like two things in that game, guys had realizations.
He gone.
When Dame hit the floor, did you see the look on his face?
I didn't see that one. I saw the aftermath.
He just bites his lip. Not pain, not, he knew. He knew immediately what it was. Because this is the guy who saw it happen in his career with Wes Matthews and again with Rodney Hood.
Right. Well, yeah, and they he wasn't there for KD, but it happened very quickly.
Yeah, but he knew what it was immediately. The realization hit him of like, oh bleep, that just happened. You can see the look on his face of like, are you kidding me? And I think that same thing happened to Giannis, because here's the timeline of events that is going around the NBA right now. Okay. The Bucks just re-signed their general manager, John Horst. He was on an expiring deal. You know why you re-sign him? Because you want the guy in that chair to have the power and the protection to make a deal or to convince Giannis to stay, because he's not a short timer and he has to have that backing behind him. And everybody that I talked to when that deal came out was like, yep, here we go. Because if you're going to sit there, here's what's probably going to happen. Giannis looks at this and goes, before Dame goes down, maybe I can get talked back into it. Maybe. But it's going to have to, like, something magical would have to happen.
Right.
Somebody be like, I have to go play there for whatever reason. Right.
Or they were going to have to go on an improbable run.
And even then, the second Dame goes down, Giannis, I said it, I want to say last week, that it was probably 50-50. It's probably 80-20 now.
Yeah.
It's probably 80-20 now. Like, I'd be, honestly, I think at this point I'd be shocked if he stayed.
Well, and the interesting thing about Giannis, like, he will be the first international player to really demand out. Like, this hasn't happened before. Yeah. I wonder, because of the victories and the title, will he be met with as much backlash as some of these other players?
Is it Dame had as much capital as anyone with a fan base and a franchise, and there were still detractors here. That's the thing. It's like if you're talking about those guys, Dame, Giannis, hell, you could maybe even put Luka in that. And he didn't demand one.
I was going to say, Luka's, I think, is completely different because it blindsided everyone.
Yeah.
Even in the best case scenario, where he might have known like a week or two in advance, he still got blindsided.
Yes. And the fan base, I think, in general, will thank him for his time, for everything they did for them, for getting them a title, for bringing them back to relevancy, all those things. Because he was an unknown, small market guy, you know, the early, you know, immigrant rags to riches.
He used to walk to the games.
Yeah. I mean, guy picked him up literally as he was walking to the arena in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mentioned this last week. He's not that guy anymore.
Nope.
He's an international superstar. Mm-hmm. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's probably a top 20 player in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've heard on the intel side is that he wants to go to a big market and get the superstar treatment that doesn't come with being in a small market.
Is Houston big enough for him? Because
yes.
Not to do this, it seems like that's the only spot he can go. That's going to give up enough capital to make it worth it
for the Bucks. That's where you hit the nail on the head. That's why you re-sign your general manager, and that's why you re-sign your general manager who has a history with your franchise of making big moves, whether it's for Drew or for Dame.
Right.
You want somebody who's navigated this before. Now, this is going to be entirely different. This is going to be the biggest transaction of John Horst's career, much like trading Damian Lillard will very likely be the biggest transaction that Joe Cronin ever makes. And I'm not saying that as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
You're trading a franchise icon.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. Most guys don't ever do that.
Probably the most important player in your franchise history?
Second.
You go Oscar?
No.
You're going Kareem?
Yes.
Okay. But, that's fair. I think that's fair. But yeah, one of the two.
And from what I've been told, Giannis wants to stay in the East and go to one of the New York teams. And Brooklyn has been the team. I don't think they have the capital to get it done. The Knicks are another team that I've heard. I don't think the Bucks are looking at Karl-Anthony Towns and either Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby as enough of a package. But here's where the problem lies if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Portland Trailblazers control your future.
Yeah, which is why you need people that can win right now for you.
Or you structure a deal, whether it's Houston, that sends assets to either Portland or New Orleans to get your picks back.
Yeah.
This is why when Joe Cronin makes that deal and you bet on time running out in Milwaukee, why it was a pretty damn good bet.
Yeah. It looks like one of the smarter trades from the team losing the superstar ever, right? In the return that you're going to get. The other thing, too, with it is I think you can make the argument that it was essentially a three-team trade, right? Because Portland trades Dame to Milwaukee. You get Drew Holiday back. You trade Drew Holiday to Boston. Mm-hmm. The irony is this might be the first time that, well, maybe not the first time, but one of the few times the team that got the superstar that had demanded out or asked to be out lost while the other two teams won, because Drew Holiday
was the final piece to a title team.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
If you go through the history of these transactions, the team trading for the superstar almost always wins. Almost always wins. Just run through the list of them.
Right.
It's just the way that it goes, unfortunately, you know? But for the Bucks now, it's scary hours, because again, Houston to me is the team. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Milwaukee, I don't want to trade Giannis in conference.
Nope.
It's the last thing that I want. I don't want to see him three or four times a year. Right. Hell no. No, 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 no.
Right.
If I'm Giannis, you know where I don't want to go? The West.
You got to deal with the gauntlet that is. Because, like, you even look right now. Yeah, two of those teams within 4 years are going to be out of it. Well, maybe not even two, because of what Luka can do for L.A. Mm-hmm. Like, Golden State won't be Golden State. But guess what? No. OKC's only going to get better, and Houston's only going to get better.
And that's if
and Minnesota.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens there. Just Minnesota's history I'm a little leery of.
Fair.
But with Houston, Houston to me is the one team that has the assets, the money, and a winning situation where they want him. Like, you've heard, like, Kevin Durant to Houston. I don't buy Durant to Houston one bit. It's Booker or Giannis.
Right. Well, because you have – it fits on the timeline. But more importantly, if you've watched any of the series, if Houston had anyone that could score.
Yes.
Anyone at all.
Yes.
They'd be up 2-1 right now. They had no one that could score.
And basically, what do they get to keep if they trade for Giannis? Like, what do you prioritize? Like, you try to keep Amen and Şengün, or Amen and Jabari, like, because there's so many different ways that could go. I mean, if you're the Bucks, do you demand that Amen Thompson is in a deal? You know, it's a non-starter without him. Like, that, those are the kind of things that kind of come out of this. And it's, a bunch of people have asked us on the fan text line, you know, whether or not Dame is going to come back to Portland. I don't think he's going to come back on this contract. I think when his contract runs out, then you would see Dame come back for a year and kind of have his victory lap tour.
It's $107 million for the next 2 years?
There's $113 in total. But
$113 for the next 2 years?
Look, I mean, I've said it, and I'm pretty certain it's been reported. Dame has flat out told me that he wants to come back when it's all said and done. Now, how does that change after this injury and kind of what comes out of it? I don't know. It's kind of a weird place to be in, but it sucks that we're going to do this with another team.
Mm-hmm.
But oh boy. All right. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the NBA. And when we go into hour number two, we're going to dive heavily in the NFL draft. And yeah, we're going to talk about that stupid slide with Shedeur Sanders and everything that came out of that. But Adam Silver, and another chance to have another press conference, took another opportunity to crap on the programming around his league. And oh my God, if we could only figure it out who's responsible for this. Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. I keep it in the NBA world talking about how the discussion around the game of basketball, it's always, to be blunt, pissed me off. Most of the coverage around it, whether it's Kendrick Perkins or Stephen A. Smith or somebody else, just spouting off something that doesn't really have any bearing on the game or anything else, or talking about how something impacts LeBron's legacy. It's the four letter network just not doing what they should be doing. And well, Adam Silver stepped up and had something to say about how the game is covered.
You know, it's interesting. Your companies enjoy basketball. And I mean, I respect the job the media does, and it's not a suggestion that people shouldn't ask tough questions or be critical or talk about things they don't like about the game. But I would say, and it goes exactly to your production company, Enjoy Basketball, that sometimes I think they don't spend enough time talking about why people love this game. And, you know, recently I was at a meeting with Mike Krzyzewski, former coach at Duke, and he condensed it with this headline. He said we should educate people about the game and celebrate the game. Mm. Educate and celebrate. And I feel I wish there was more of that.
There could be more of it on your own freaking network, Adam. You fired the guys who ended up moving over to The Athletic and Skeets and Taz and everybody else who now the No Dunks crew, who all they did was celebrate your game. They were on NBA TV for 6 years. You fired them. What are we doing? You had a literal platform to put these guys on. They did. They were beloved. And then you cut them. Like, what the hell? Instead, you've spent under this last rights deal with ABC and ESPN pumping nothing but negativity. You can't dictate terms to them, but you sure as hell can be like, hey, guys, I've seen how you cover the NFL. Can you cover us like that?
It definitely feels like when you watch an NBA halftime show or a pregame show, there is very clearly a different sound and a different way of talking about the league. Can you imagine if, let's say, the NFL grabbed Julian Edelman while he's still playing with the Patriots, and during the Pro Bowl had him just dump on the league, specifically the young players on the league, before they went into the Pro Bowl? Could you imagine that happening? No, that would never happen. Yet the NBA let Draymond Green do it.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Because you know why Draymond Green's doing it?
Because he can. No one stops him.
Not just that. It's being reinforced. That's the problem. And I'm not saying you can't talk about the game negatively. Hell, I do. Good Lord. Not this past season. The season before, when the Blazers were egregiously tanking, I talked about how miserable it was. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't talk about the love of the game. We didn't talk about games night in, night out throughout the season. Yeah, I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to talk about the negatives of the game, but at some point in time, like, it's why I love somebody like Tim Legler or Scott Van Pelt, like, who just, they just do a better job.
Well, they clearly love the game, and they clearly want to help it grow, where I feel like the NBA, it turns into a measuring contest.
Yes.
My era was better than your era. And the thing that's stupid about the whole thing is the older guys will say the people that are older than them, well, they were playing in a different era. There's only 8 teams. It's plumbers. Yeah. It's, you know, handymen that were playing basketball. But then when they talk about the younger generation, it's always, well, they're soft. They couldn't play in our era because we'd beat them up and we'd be more physical. And it's evolution, man. Everything gets better as it ages out because you know how to handle things more appropriately. LeBron James would score 1,000 points, not because LeBron James is a better athlete necessarily than everybody, but because LeBron James would take better care of himself than everybody did, right?
Yeah.
Like, it isn't that the young crew is a better athletic group, or it's that the young crew has evolved necessarily in skill on the court because of God-given talent. It's they know how to take care of their body better. They do better. They have better nutrition. They have better training programs. I mean, Michael Jordan took a step forward because he started lifting weights. Everybody lifts weights now. You know what I mean? Like, people run in the off season. They take care of their body. They still have fun, but people aren't smoking cigarettes at halftime.
Well,
probably.
For the most part.
There might be one or two that might.
There's still a few Balkan boys who I know rip some eaters every now and then.
Got to do what you got to do.
Look, it is what it is. But this every part of this, this is what we've talked about with Adam Silver. He gets up there and he talks about how his product isn't taken care of a certain way. Do something about it. You have the capacity to do it. You're going into a new TV deal. You're going into a new broadcast and rights deal with NBC and Amazon. How about you have some input? How about you prioritize how your game is talked about? How about you, like, you invest in what your product is?
Right.
You can control some of it. You can't dictate terms, but you sure as hell can talk about what you want to be talked about.
You can also promote people that are going to talk about you in the way that you'd like them to talk about you. Like, think about it. In the NFL, you have the lovable crazy guy, Gronk.
Yeah.
But you know what he never does? He never dumps on anybody.
No.
He never knocks anyone down to make himself look better. I mean, even
the NFL does a great job of protecting the shield.
Even the NBA Tonight crew, or the TNT show, right? as much as we love them, and they are the best post-game type of show for
entertainment
any
show. Yes.
Right. They're the best at it. They still knock on each other. They still knock players down. Well, that guy wouldn't be successful in my era, right? Shaq does it. Charles does it. Even Kenny does it, right? Even at your peak, you still have people that are knocking others down. And for the NFL, it's probably the Fox crew that is probably the top, at least right now, when you're talking about post-game, pre-game, entertainment type shows. You know what they never do? And they're not as good of a product. They never knock on guys.
No.
Or if they do, it isn't unfair.
It's careful.
It's careful. It's not unfair, though, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you messed up on this play, you need to be better. Mm-hmm. Not, you messed up on this play, I would never mess up on that play because I'm better than you.
And not just that, it's like, it's always, in the NBA, it's always comes back to legacy. And this texter right now, on the broadcast, Richard Jefferson said that he does not miss the regular season, but does the playoffs. This really annoyed me because the whole narrative that the regular season doesn't matter. RJ basically just told the National Alliance they are correct in assuming the regular season doesn't matter. It's like, yeah. You don't hear that. Like, yes, it's not apples to apples because you're talking about 18 or, you know, what will be 18 versus 82. Scarcity is what makes the NFL great. But it's like, at some point in time, the game has to matter. The game has to matter, and the way it's talked about, it's just, I hate having to do this over and over and over again because it feels like I'm just screaming into the void, but as somebody who literally does this for a living, it drives me nuts, because, and it's something I always say, that we want to talk about the stuff that matters, the game. And again, yes, we talked about Dame and Giannis and the Bucks and the big storylines that come out of that. We're going to talk about the Pacers today because the game matters.
Right.
As much as we're not a Pacers audience or anything like that, I want to give them their due. I want to talk about it.
They're sneaky awesome.
Yes.
They are a fun
and
watch.
And they should be talked about.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. With that said, let's pivot out of this and go straight into the NFL draft, because we do have a lot to come out of the NFL draft, and yes, the biggest storyline coming out of it. Shedeur Sanders is not the second, the third, the fourth, or even the fifth quarterback taken. Boy, oh boy. He wasn't even the first quarterback taken by the team that drafted him. Let's dive into everything that happened around the NFL draft, including Shedeur Sanders' slide and the prank phone calls and everything else that comes with that. We'll do that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.